Ladies and gentlemen, lads and ladies, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to Sling the Biscuit. This is going to be episode 6 of season 4 of the new show, coming at you live from the greatest city in Canada, from downtown Vancouver, home of the Nation Network. This is a Nation Network show at the corner of Hornby and Nelson Street at Wall Center outside the Sheraton Hotel, the big black tall, I almost got in trouble there for what I was about to say, hotel in the skyline on the west end of the city. My name is Travis Ridgen. I'm your favorite unemployed professional hockey goaltender, or at least favorite, depending on how you see things. My co-host is located in Erie County on the edge of the Niagara River, Buffalo, New York, the pride of upstate New York. His name is Rob Lalonde. He is an entrepreneur, four-year pro, retired pro. He looks like Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud. What's up, dude?
I think I'm just doing too many podcasts. I think I'm done.
What, you have a top morning show in the city as well?
No, I'm just playing, man. We're back. It's great to be back with you. And got the nice warm audio. Sorry for last week's mishap, but we're happy to be back. Slanging the biscuit, my boy Trav in the house. What's going on, guys? What's up, Trav?
And speaking of technical mishaps, it's live in the engineering room, directly behind this wall and the three TVs that we turned on for the first time last week. Live in the engineering room. He has not emptied the recycling in about 2 weeks with all those coffee cups. You see, he's a caffeine addict. Mr. Producer, what's up in the engineering room, dude?
Hello, hello. Just getting ready, getting everything set up here for Mrs. Intern to take over. I've been fired already. I've been replaced. I'm a replacement level producer. That's what the rumor on the street is.
I did hear from corporate that you were expendable, so it's nice to see that those are coming to fruition.
Well, shall we do the transfer?
Are we going to talk about your Valentine's Day?
Nobody cares about that.
Mr. Producer is checking out. He's going home for the night. And Mrs. Intern, welcome to the show. Please, name, where you're from, do you have any sisters?
Hi, boys. How's it going?
What's up? Mrs. Producer, what's going on?
Hi, not much. I'm Madison. I'm from Victoria.
Everybody say hi, Madison.
Hi, Madison.
Came out here to do what I'm doing right now. Honestly, sports media is my dream, and it's been pretty fun so far.
That is awesome. This is your second day with the company?
It's my second week, actually.
I walked in here. She says, who are you? I said, I'm Travis. She said, what show do you do? Sling the Biscuit. Never heard of it.
Good start, right?
Good start. We just were added to the network, so it'll come with good time.
No, Trav, you didn't get my joke at the beginning. Did you see the Dana White walking off the Howie Mandel show this week?
I saw, yeah. He literally walked off 30 seconds.
What did you think when I walked off? Were you like, oh, no, like what's going on or what? A 3-for-1 are there?
I thought, I'm like, God, do I still have Dave Wheeler's number? Damn it.
Yeah. Bring Dave back on the show. Let's go.
I hope everybody's doing well. Happy Valentine's Day. It's Sunday. Obviously, Valentine's Day was 3 days ago. I had a great Valentine's Day. Rob, did you have a great Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah. Had a wonderful, wonderful Valentine's Day. We're actually, I know you mentioned Buffalo. My company based in Buffalo, that's where I grew up. Actually, I'm down here in amazing. I'm on the west coast of Puerto Rico right now, celebrating Valentine's Day with my sweetheart. We had a great day. Went shopping for some food, went to the beach, did a little surfing, came back, cooked a dinner on the sunset. It was one of those special days, Trav. What about you? What'd you do? What'd you get into?
I was going to ask, are you taking applications for a second girlfriend? Any way I can nestle my way in there or no?
I mean, I don't know. You've been trying to get in there for a while, dude. I don't know. It's a tough ticket.
Want me to be the big spoon or the little spoon? You tell me.
I don't know. With you, man, I'll let you decide, Trav.
Mrs. Producer, Mrs. Intern, excuse me. You're not the producer yet. Mrs. Intern, what did you do for Valentine's Day?
We did some charcuterie.
Ooh, I love me some good brie cheese and some prosciutto.
Oh, 100%. We're going to go out for dinner, but it's not really our style. So we ended up going with the stay-at-home route, but it was way better that way, I think.
Sounds like everybody in here stay at home for Valentine's Day. Trav, you too?
I did step up my game for Valentine's Day. I had my sweetheart come over yesterday. I got her a bouquet of roses, which got nice and discounted. I got the day before. I'll tell you this. So I came to the studio yesterday, doing a little bit of work on some vlog stuff for a video this upcoming weekend, some voiceover stuff. And on my way home on the SkyTrain, I saw every simp in the city who had just spent $50 on roses. Guess what? I bought roses the day before. $7, fella. Not 50.
That's the way to do it. Always planning.
Adam sitting in a little water vase at home, so they're going to stay fresh. I went out, went to the store, dinner for my lady. Roast chicken supreme. Crispy skin chicken breast. Pan roasted broccoli and carrots, seasoned with a nice little fresh, or not fresh, but brown butter towards the end of finish. Garlic, roasted mashed potatoes, a little bit of whole cheddar in there just to get those nice and cheesy potatoes. Dessert, or excuse me, the sauce, the donair sauce. There was no donair sauce, but it was a red wine reduction with butter and cream, a beurre rouge for the sauce and for dessert, New York cheesecake. Does it get any better than that, Robert?
Oh, man. Just hearing you describe it reminds me of your train vlog.
And on top of that, I had a guest for the for dinner. Now, I had my missus, who is fantastic. She's an amazing woman. Probably, honest to God, she is probably the greatest quality human being I've ever met. She makes me feel like such a man when I'm around her, and she is so feminine. It is just incredible, that dynamic. However, we have somebody in the building who was there to witness it. Are you ready? We're going to bring him in live on the show. You ready, Rob?
Oh, let's go. Oh, Mr. Corgi's back.
He's back.
Mr. Corgi.
My missus is doing a dinner tonight and a business meeting as well, so she asked if I could babysit, so I'm babysitting, and I have to get him off the table before he jumps and hurts himself on his little 3-inch stumps.
Yeah, you can't let the corgis jump off the table. They're pretty smart, though. I don't think he's going to do that anyway.
All right, we're off and rolling. What are we, 10 minutes in? We haven't really talked about much.
But also, too, hearing you describe your venture out to find the discounted flowers reminds me of classic Trav move. When we took the train back from Halifax to Toronto, and we're in the Montreal train station, and Trav is looking for, you know, a gift for his lady because he's in the doghouse and he's got to find something for her. Trav gets the saleswoman to go and make the most extravagant bouquet with all the best flowers. She builds the flowers. She's chopped. She's cutting them up, putting them in a bouquet, getting it all ready. She gets the entire thing ready. We go to the checkout counter. And Trav tries to pay with the, what was it like, the coupon we got for being late from the train station?
VRL gave us two $15 coupons for the train being 8 hours late. To say
for food, because we'd been on the train for like 40 hours. And it was supposed to be like an 8-hour trip. So Trav goes to the flower store to buy flowers for his girlfriend and ends up trying to pay with the food coupon. He gets all the way to the counter. After chopping up the flowers, the girl spends about 25 minutes making this beautiful bouquet. And Trav tries to pay with the discount coupon code. And she was like, no, we don't accept that. Remember, Trav?
Oh, I remember.
I'm like, I got to film this. I think I have some content of it somewhere, too. And then Trav ends up just being like,
The only thing that would have made it better was if, because it was all bundled and cut, discounted flowers, 25% off. I came back 20 minutes later to buy the discounted flowers. That was the only thing that could have topped it.
But anyways.
We are doing this show on a Friday. Thursday, excuse me. Sorry. Because on Monday, heading back to Winnipeg on the train, 2.5 days. I'm very excited. Go see my mom, spend some time at home in the city of Winnipeg. And here's the incredible thing about the city of Winnipeg. I am the most patriotic Winnipegger on the face of the planet. The people are friendly. They survive all winter from October until April in minus 40. It's blistering dry cold. But here's the greatest thing about the city of Winnipeg. The city of Winnipeg has some of the most incredible architecture in all of North America, from the Canadian Pacific Building on the corner of Higgins and Main, to the Fort Garry Hotel on Broadway, to the Museum of Human Rights, to MTS Center, the home of my Winnipeg Jets, also the home that was established by the Selkirk settlers in the 1800s, the first European settlement in the prairies, specifically where downtown Winnipeg is. They came all the way from Scotland to establish in Manitoba. Winnipeg will always be my home, and no matter where I travel, Europe, Sweden, North America, Spain, Argentina, Vancouver, Quebec City, at the train station where I tried to buy the discounted flowers, Winnipeg will always be home.
Yeah, man. It's almost like you'd, at this point, maybe even consider getting a neck tat. Are we still thinking neck tat for Winnipeg after a couple episodes ago, or have we moved on from the neck tat?
I've gotten so much anxiety thinking about this neck tattoo idea with the text script Winnipeg on my neck. I think I'm just going to let it be. I think I'm going to think on it for about another year.
I like that you're going to think about it. I mean, hey, listen, I like the commitment. You saw the picture I sent you this week. I was down here in Puerto Rico, and I'm in the coffee shop having a breakfast sandwich with my buddy here, Painter. And this guy walked in, this big Puerto Rican guy, standing in line. I look up, and he's got this giant neck tat of the island of Puerto Rico right here with the city of Ponce right in the line of the thing. I took a picture and sent it to Trav. We'll share it for you on the show here. But all I could think of was Trav standing in line and having a giant Winnipeg tattoo with the bridge. Or what would it be? You said just like the name Winnipeg? Or what would you exactly tattoo if you were going to get one?
Yeah, just the text kind of like behind my ear where it would just be like Winnipeg. That's it. Just very simple. No flowers, no potato guns, no Esplanade Riel Bridge, no Museum of Human Rights, just the text of Winnipeg.
I mean, it's one thing. I don't know. Do you plan on settling in Winnipeg when you get older, you think? Or you think you're going to be always traveling the world like you're doing now, moving around?
I love the city of Winnipeg so much because it's where I was born and raised. However, with the crime rates and with just the way things are going right now, now is not the time. Not to get into politics too much, but I was told by our boss at corporate that, hey, the show's doing well, numbers are up higher than they've ever been, everything's popping, you can push the envelope a little bit more. So let's just talk about this for a split second. I am very excited for the potential of the city of Winnipeg, probably around 2030. So when the 2025 election happens, the Conservatives come back in for Canada, they're doing this trying to build as much housing around transit and bus stations as humanly possible, and by getting rid of the restrictions and the red tape to do so. And so the city of Winnipeg, specifically at the Forks, right behind Winnipeg Union Station, there's this massive dirt lot that they have a whole website for. They've been looking to turn that into high-rise apartments forever. And the amount of housing that you can put in there to get people to go downtown, which would then give you more incentives to revitalize downtown and get rid of a lot of the crime and the homelessness and just really get things up and on the rise. I mean, you have so many buildings that are being turned into loft apartments and just so many good things happening on the south side of Portage and Main, but the north side is what they have to work on. So I'm excited for the potential of Winnipeg in the next 10 years, maybe in the next like 5 to 8 years. Obviously, that election coming up next year is going to be very, very huge for that. Yes. So hopefully the show will continue after this week, after this politics talk. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, you never know. We're in sketchy waters right now, man. Talking politics, you never know. You just never know.
Well, I'm actually, to get off the topic of the city of Winnipeg for a second. So I would live there when things kind of gotten brushed up a little bit, but not for the time being. But one place I'm going, which I'm extremely excited for, I've talked about this the last 2 weeks in a row, Vail, Colorado, to play for the Vail Yeti, the senior hockey team up in the mountains about 2 hours to the east, or excuse me, to the west.
Oh, yeah. They're called the Vail Yeti?
The Vail Yeti. The Vail Yeti hockey team.
You know, I just heard recently through the grapevine that they're talking about naming, if possible, if they do have a team in Utah, they're going to call them the Utah Yeti. I heard that's the leading front runner for the team name. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that, but wouldn't that be awesome if I showed up day one for training camp? Here, I'm here for tryouts. Sorry, you're here for the wrong team. They said Yeti. They told me to come here.
Yeah, yeah. So Vail Yeti.
Who was the guy? There was an NFL guy who set up a tent outside the arena. This is like years ago. I can't remember. Was it for the Chiefs?
What arena?
It would have been the Superdome for the Saints, the New Orleans Saints. He set up a tent outside the arena waiting for training camp. And when all the management would come in, he would wait for them and say, hey, this is who I am. Please let me try out for training camp. And they let him in and he made the team. He walked on, made the team. So maybe never say die.
I mean, that's awesome. You got to love to hear stories like that. I mean, hey, listen, you were at the LA Kings tryout, right? Wasn't that something similar like that, trying out for the Kings?
Well, that was a social media contest. This would be an actual tryout, actual hockey. A little bit different, Robert.
Right, but you never know. I mean, you were there for a social media contest, but if you, you know, you never know. You never know who's watching, Trev.
The walls have eyes, so they say. But speaking of eyes, I have the greatest getup of all time for this trip. Robert, I'm so excited. I have a new getup. I want you to tell me what you think. And Mrs. Intern, I want to hear your opinion on this as well, specifically from the female gaze perspective. I have bought a white blazer, a cowboy hat, some cowboy boots, some black chinos, a black dress shirt, and get a little yeehaw in the Vail Mountains, excuse me.
I like it.
You like that? Mrs. Intern, what do you think about that? Do you think that's a good setup? Has she gone home? Do we not have any staff back here? What is going on back there?
Skeleton crew, Trev.
Rob, you like that getup? You like that idea? The white?
Yeah, I'm down for it. I think you know, you're going out west, the Wild West, if you will. You know, might as well go in and be going as a character. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna might as well create a character out of it. I like it. Cowboy hat, boots. It's good for the vlog.
Sheriff's in town, and also additionally as well, I got some brand new gear. I got some all white custom Warrior G7 stuff. Early access. It should be coming in any hour now. So I got some brand new gear, a brand new white blazer. Cowboy hat, yeehaw!
Oh, nice. What are you doing for advertisements on the pads right now? Is that what you got? New pads?
I gotta look at the contracts because I've always contracted out any advertisements on my pads. So if I'm paying for equipment, I don't advertise for the company to leave their logos on because I'm already paying for the gear. So to offset the cost, I've always gotten companies to just pay, put advertisements on, and so now they're the NordVPN pads, they're the Manscaped pads, they're the Ridge Wallet ads, they're the pads, excuse me, they're the Sheath pads. So whoever has the rights at that point in time would have my pads, which I actually do believe I have to renegotiate come up very, very soon.
Well, it's a good thing I reminded you here on the show.
Also, I did have a question for you. I know you were telling me before we started recording the show, you were reading a book the other day.
Yes, actually, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Speaking of the cowboy hat, I just started reading. I know last week we talked about I finished the Sean Avery book, which I recommended and I really liked. And then I just finished this new book here, speaking of cowboys, Zamboni Rodeo, which was written around the year 2000-ish. I don't know the exact date, but basically chasing hockey dreams from Austin to Albuquerque. So basically minor league hockey and the WPHL, which is a now defunct league, on the grind, in the minors, riding the buses, playing in the small cities of Texas. Trav, this book is really good, and it reminded me a lot of the grind that you and I have had playing pro hockey in the minors. The author captures it. He rides around with the team for a full season and basically writes about it. Writes about all the players, their struggles, like what it's like going from city to city, playing in these really kind of interesting towns. You know, not normally hockey markets in Texas in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Definitely a good read. Definitely think you should check it out.
Do you remember, it must have been NHL 2K9 where they had a Zamboni mode where you could just hop on at center ice and ride the Zamboni Grand Theft Auto style and just giddy up, make a couple right-hand turns. Remember that back in the day?
I mean, I think that was like everybody's dream, right? Like when you were a kid, I used to watch, I don't know about you, man, but when I was a kid, I used to love watching the Zamboni. When I used to go to, I remember going to Sabre games with my dad in Buffalo, and I would always be fascinated with the Zamboni, especially from when you're up high at the arenas. I don't know, maybe that's just me, but the thought of like taking the Zamboni and driving it around like Grand Theft Auto style, like you're saying, is definitely sounds pretty fun.
Well, that'd be interesting. That'd be an interesting insurance claim.
Yeah. What do you think about, have you seen the new Zambonis? I don't know if you, like, are you up to date on Zamboni technology? But you know how, like, the older Zambonis would have, like, that, almost like a towel that got wet and it would, like, lay the water on the ice? Have you seen the new Zamboni technology where it's, like, these, like, spray jets that just, like, spray the water? It's a way, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the Zamboni technology has really improved a lot.
Not to get too nerdy, because I do wear many hats in this show, from producing to working the engineer room when everybody leaves because we don't have enough staff anymore. However, I do know a little bit about Zambonis and the technology. It's all computerized. It's all electronic. So the computer underneath the Zamboni gauges, okay, how much ice do I need to shave off? So it shaves off that, throws in the auger. How much did I take off? How do I make it even? How much water do I have to spray on? It is incredible. When I used to ride the Zamboni, when I rode the Boney for $15 an hour in the city of Winnipeg about seven years ago, we talked about this before, I believe, correct?
Oh, actually, no, I did not know that you were a professional Zamboni rider.
I drove the Zamboni for 6 months at $15 an hour for 12-hour days, only two of which I actually did work. The other 10 were walking around or going on dates, grocery shopping. I wore many hats during the job.
That's unbelievable, man. I mean, out of all the hockey players, how many percentage of hockey players do you think have actually ever driven a Zamboni? You've got to be in like the very, there's got to be only a small percentage. You got to be in that percentage, eh?
I'm on the job. I'm pinched for time. I just got off flooding the ice. Took me about 8 minutes and change to finish. I got a date. I don't got time to dump the snow out, park the Boney, and leave. I just take the Boney, giddy on up over to my dates, and I come in. Get in. Get her on the side on the auger. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think most Canadian girls would appreciate that kind of effort. If I had to guess, that'd be something else. Rolling up to your date's house in the Zamboni.
Is there anybody in the engineering room that has an opinion on this?
I'm letting you guys cook. I'm letting you guys cook.
You're back. We asked you questions like 5 minutes ago.
I was on the phone. I had a quick call.
What is it? Corporate? Are we off the air?
No, we are still on the air. Good news.
That is outstanding, Madison. Thank you so much.
Yes, of course.
That's good. That's fantastic. However, although the Boney would be awesome, I saw this Zamboni driving down Main Street in Lake Louise 2 years ago. No, excuse me, 3 years ago. Right down Main Street, just driving the Boney, about 10 kilometers an hour, about 10 under the speed limit, about 20 through the town. I couldn't believe it. It was the most Canadian thing ever. And this dude rips into the Tim Hortons, grabs a double-double, back to work. Same thing. He didn't have no date. But he went to go get a double double. It was outstanding.
I remember that. I remember that video. That was something else. You don't see that every day. That's something you're only going to see in Canada.
Lake Louise and Banff are probably two of the most magical places in Canada for beauty. The Rocky Mountains, the lakes, the turquoise water, just the essence. It is incredible, even though it gets really, really extremely freezing down there. But I'm working on a bit of a project with a couple different creators in the community. My boy Sweens, who I played college hockey in Sweden with. Eric Nagy, he's a creator in the community. He's on the rise. He's doing a lot of great things.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Nags.
Nags is a beauty. Yep. We got a couple other guys as well coming out, and we're just going to do a great skate. We got Juan Morales. He's a videographer for the NHL. He's coming out and going to do a short film on skating outdoors. The beauty, the sights, the sounds, the magic of outdoor pond hockey on Lake Louise, the township of Banff, and possibly Lake Minnewanka. It's going to be a little project we're working on towards the end of March. And I also got a deal because Banff is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours outside of Calgary. The Palliser Hotel, the beautiful Grand Railway Hotel of the Palliser, outside of the Calgary Tower, the former Husky Tower, tallest building in Calgary at one point in time. They're having a deal for their 110th anniversary. They're doing $110 hotel rooms on Sundays only, regular $300, $330 a night. So I booked a room. So me and Sweens are going to stay for $110 a night. Outstanding for the price of a Super 8 motel.
Can't beat it, bro. Sounds great. How'd you set that up with all the boys? Did you just reach out to all the guys or what?
I was talking to a couple of the guys just about how are we going to create something that's really awesome, right? Nags is hilarious. I guess we could have a little bit of a dynamic of a short goalie with a tall goalie partnership. Also the great magic of the outdoors and some hockey isms. We thought, let's just bring everybody together. Let's go for an awesome skate in the great outdoors, experience Banff, experience Lake Louise, all these outstanding spots. Let's just go have some fun, make some film out of it, share it, and see who wants to watch it. Also, Juan is one of the greatest videographers in the game right now in hockey. He's doing some incredible stuff. Juan, shout out to you, buddy. Hope you're well out there in the six in Toronto. But I'm excited for that. It's going to be the end of March.
That's going to be a great project. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm excited, especially the sights and the sounds of the edges cutting through Lake Minnewanka or Lake Louise, pucks snapping tape to tape, puck off the blocker, puck off the pad, puck off the post and in, hitting the mesh, going in the snow. I'm excited.
How many people you got involved in the project? How many other players you got?
I think we're shooting about eight, maybe nine guys and two goalies plus one. So
that's going to be pretty good.
Because I am flying to Calgary. I can't believe there's no train to Calgary. I wish that there was a way to go from Vancouver to Calgary or to go from Winnipeg to Calgary on the train. It just blows my mind that the fourth biggest city in all the country has no train service.
Via rail, come on.
Like, we have service from Winnipeg to Saskatoon, but no Calgary to Vancouver? What is going on?
Yeah, that's living in the Stone Age up in the Great White North.
But wow, we are living in the Stone Age. One thing that we should do to upgrade our game is Incredible Team at Sheath Underwear, the presenting sponsor for the show. They've been with us since day one. Here's the deal. When it comes to Sheath Underwear, they have an unrivaled level of endurance, enhancing comfort and support. Their bamboo fiber blend and their signature dual pouch, which eliminates friction, their gentle isolation of your package, the incredible segregated, segmented pouch. Put your dick and your balls where they need to go. They're not going to stick to the side of your leg. They're not going to be bat winging. You're going to be comfortable. So whether you're doing a podcast, whether you're skating out in Lake Minnewanka, you're in the engineering room at Wall Center in downtown Vancouver, you're working on the construction site, you're going for a Valentine's date with your missus, you can be comfortable, cool, compartmentalized, and comfy only from the team at Sheath. You got to go to the link in the video description on the YouTube version of the show or the Apple Spotify podcast notes. Click that first link, sheathunderwear.com. The code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69, will get you 20% off of the greatest underwear money has bought and ever will buy, only from the team at Sheath. Thank you so much to Sheath for sponsoring the show, as they do every single week.
Not a way. Get your Sheath, guys. They're pretty good. I'm not going to lie. You're going to like it.
They also do ladies stuff as well. They do bralettes, underwear, and other stuff. I don't know the terminology, but Mrs. Intern, we're going to have to get you a set, and maybe you can do a review live on the show to tell our female audience about that.
But the discount code works site-wide, right, for everything?
Yep, site-wide, anything. If you're getting the male stuff, female stuff, whatever it is, the code BIZKIT69 will get you 20% off everything, only at Sheath.
Oh, beauty. And also, too, don't forget, guys, as you guys know, I'm Rob from Butt Ends, and if you guys want to try out a Butt Ends hockey grip, also use the code at buttends.com. BIZKIT is going to get you 20% off at Butt Ends as well, so there you go.
Quick little note here. I just wanted to give a quick congratulations to my boy Matt Murray. He just was hopping on the ice the other day for the first time and then in full gear this week, so I'm excited to see some video of Muzz in full gear and skating. He's excited.
Oh, yeah. That's great news.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really hoping to see him playing a game probably sometime next month. I'm hoping.
You think he's going to get some – you think he'll be in-game action this season for the Leafs?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He'll be back in game action before the playoffs start, if they make the playoffs. It's so fascinating because I only had one hip done, and it took me about five and a bit months. You saw me in July in Halifax, Robin. That was at the tail end when I was feeling 100% like myself again.
Yeah.
He did both hips. He had double hip surgery, and when did he have it? He had it end of September or February, so that's about five-ish, almost 6 months. So he'll probably be about 7 months for both hips, which is probably about two and a half months ahead of schedule for a double hip surgery, for the cam hip surgery. So incredible recovery, incredible work. Matt, you're one of my boys, and can be more appreciative for our friendship and wish you all the best moving forward.
Yeah, great news.
Into the playoffs. Yeah, it's awesome. It's really awesome.
Ah, great news for the Leafs, too. They need help in goal. So that's awesome to hear that he's coming back. And just the way you've described him and the way that he's helped you and mentor you, I'm really rooting for him, too, to come back and make a real big impact for the Leafs coming up down the stretch.
I talk about him a lot, but, man, he has really changed my life, and I'm so appreciative to have my friendship with Matt and all that great fun stuff. Speaking of fun, speaking of awesome, speaking of exciting, hot off the press. This is the headliner for today's episode as well, by the way. I talked to my agent last night. We had an offer come in.
Oh.
Better late than never, right?
What do you got?
We got an offer in Europe. My agent told me, do not mention the country because it may possibly be a dead giveaway to the league. We want to keep things hush for the time being. But the offer came in for next season. This season, for next season. My season is done at this point in time for this year, but for next season. How much money do you think they're offering? What do you think, Rob? Take a rough guess for the full season. How much am I going to make?
A man of yours caliber? based off of last year, I don't know, maybe, what do you think? 1,000 a month? 2,000 a month? What are they offering?
800 euros a month. 800 and change.
Okay, right there. 1,000 a month? Yeah. Euro to the Canadian dollar? Okay, there you go. That's not bad, man. That sounds like a pay increase compared to the Fed that you were dealing with.
Lifestyle increase, pay increase, happiness increase. It's in a place where it's extremely warm.
Oh, man. You've been talking about wanting to go back to Europe, too, since you were in Sweden. And I couldn't agree more. I was always, one of the things I always wanted to do was play hockey professionally in Europe. So to have that opportunity again coming up, man, I'm excited for you. That's great. Selfishly, I'm excited because I'm going to come visit you wherever you go. So make sure you get that deal locked in.
Let me get you signed to a contract. You can come out for a weekend or two. We can do some live in-person shows and send you back.
Listen, I was actually thinking that too. Let's talk to your agent after the show here, and I'll get myself in shape and maybe come over for training camp if they'll have us. That'd be pretty kind of sweet, actually.
In shape? You're 8% body fat. You're more vascular than
No, that. Hockey shape. Hockey shape. Oh, no, I'm in great shape, but I'm talking hockey shape. You can't, as any hockey player knows, you can't duplicate hockey shape. You can be in the best shape of your entire life, but if you're not skating day in and day out and you step onto that ice, I think most hockey players know that you're not in shape until you've been skating every day for a few weeks at least, you know? And I probably need it even more than a few weeks at this point. I haven't skated in a little while, so. But I think I could get back right back into game shape here.
Wouldn't that be outstanding? You and me on the same team. I set the puck up behind the net, put you on a platter, on a silver platter for that first good pass, first three strides out of the zone. We're humming down together. Wouldn't that be something special?
Could you imagine, though, like if that actually happened? I mean, it's got me actually kind of excited thinking about it. Maybe there's an opportunity there.
We're doing the national anthem. You and I are both sitting on the blue line, rocking back and forth, stick taps on the shin pads, stick taps on the leg pads, getting all fired up. Lights are dimmed. Anthem singers finishing up, belting out those final notes. And there's Lalonde and Ridgen, ready to roll.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll manifest it here on the podcast. You just never know, man.
Somebody clip this and mark these words. When we have our debut together over in this European country, which my agent told me not to name. Wow. What a story that would be.
When do you think you'll be able to announce what country it is or what league it is? Like, how long do you have to wait? Like, when do you sign or what's the deal?
So the offer came in, but we're waiting on a contract. Now, obviously, in pro sports, as Rob, you know, until there is paper on the table with terms and conditions, it's not happening. So I'm telling you live, this is what I was told. This is what the team offered my agent and informed me. And I said, if that is what is on the paper, we're going to sign. We will absolutely sign that deal. I like those terms, like those conditions. But if the offer comes in on paper and it's not what I thought, we're going to keep shopping around. So if you are from that team, the offer you made sounds fantastic, and I look forward to signing. Just put it on a piece of paper and email it over.
Well, that's good. Well, good news is you got a little bit of time. So what's your plan to prep to get ready? Like, if you think you're definitely done this year, you're not going to get any other offers coming in last minute?
Well, I'm not going to go play in the Fed again.
100%? You're 100% no Fed? No more sleeping with eight guys living in the garage?
Oh, boy. How do I get myself not in trouble by saying this? Would I go play in the Fed again? Yes, on the right terms. Do I want to go to a team where I'm not going to get fulfilled what was promised over the summer and maybe it wasn't in writing and they're going to go back on their word? No. Do I want to live in a team where there's eight guys living in a house sharing one bathroom? No. I want to go where I'm actually going to play, where I'm actually valued, where I'm actually respected. Simple as that. Am I upset towards the Fed? No, I don't think so, because I think I learned a lot about myself the past 2 years. I think I learned a lot about pro hockey and how ruthless it is, and the fact that literally nobody gives a shit about you outside of you. Your GM don't, your coach don't, your teammates don't. I told this story the other day on a podcast I did for somebody else, but when I had my hip surgery last year from Motor City, when I left the team, not a single person reached out. How was the surgery? How are you feeling? Did everything go to plan? How have things, what have you been up to? From when I left the team until about a week before the expansion draft, not one single person reached out and asked how things were going. Further proof. Nobody gives a shit about you except for you.
Yeah.
And you're only cared about for as long as you're useful. The second you're useless, we don't care anymore. Simple as that.
I mean, that's unfortunate. That's kind of the way that it goes. And it's good that you realize that, you know, and, you know, like you said, you'd still consider going back there and, you know, you're looking out for yourself. What's best for you. And I think there could be, you never know, there could be a situation that fits better than the situations that you were in there before. But yeah, that's unfortunate, man. That's kind of what I went through a little bit too in my pro experience, where you're meat on the hook, we used to say when we were playing in pro hockey, where it's like, as soon as you're not valuable anymore, they can't wait to get you off their books. They can't wait to get you off their payroll, you know, and there's really no, you're not going to hear from anybody when you get hurt and you're not valuable to the team anymore. But the sooner that you can realize that and you can treat yourself and, you know, plan accordingly and, you know, play with a little bit of selfishness, then I think it's going to help you in the long run as a player and as a person. That's unfortunate, though. It has to be that way.
It's the reality of it, but you learn it eventually. And again, I'm very thankful and I'm very appreciative to the FPHL, to my former general managers, to my former teammates for teaching me those lessons. I do believe that probably 50 or 85% of people have to learn things the hardest way. 15% learn the hard way. And I'm glad that I was able to learn the hard way. And I'm not going to continue trying to fit a round peg into a square hole. Just wasn't a fit. Didn't work out. I tried my best. I did the things that were going to enable me to be successful. I installed the mindset that was going to enable me to be successful. It just didn't work out. I'm not a Fed player. It's not going to work out, unfortunately.
Well, way it goes. Moving on, and you're creating new opportunities for yourself. And those past experiences are going to help you in the future, whatever it is you do and whatever league you're playing in. And, you know, going into it, how to prepare for, you know, that kind of behavior from pro hockey, from that experience.
And I'm also very thankful because the stories and the experience that I got were something that I was able to put on Patreon for the exclusive untold episodes from Motor City and from Watertown. So all the stories are up on Patreon. We had a lot of signups recently to listen to those exclusive episodes. It's $5 a month. Link in the video description or the Spotify, Apple podcast notes. If you want to hear those untold stories, deleted episodes, get exclusive perks, free merchandising, free trading cards, and so much more. You can get a live shout out on the show, free shout outs, birthday wishes, and we'll answer your questions live on the air at the end of just about every single episode. So $5, join the Patreon page today. A couple things that I want to talk about. And this is an awesome talk. Somebody asked the other day, what are you going to do when the podcast fails? Because the transition off the FPHL talk, things were kind of rocky in the Fed, to put it very nicely. But out of that was spawned this opportunity with the network, this Nation Network deal. The podcast is doing well. I just signed a 6-month lease in Vancouver because things are going so well, which I'm very, very thankful and appreciative for. Rob and I are humming. The clips are good. Rob and I's friendship has never been better because of this show. Things are going fantastic. But what are you going to do when the podcast fails? Now, I'm not manifesting the podcast failing. However, to be successful in any realm of human endeavor, whether we're talking hockey, podcasting, business, whatever it is, you have to have some level of comfortability with failure, right? So when I started the podcast at the beginning, everybody's watching the vlog. Will anybody want to watch the podcast? I don't know. Hopefully it works out. Pat Shea and I split. Will anybody want to watch the podcast without me and Pat? I don't know. Bring Dave Wheeler in. Great. It worked. But I was comfortable with the idea of failing. Dave's no longer part of the show with this new Nation Network deal. What about Rob? Will the show be as successful with Rob and I? I don't know. I hope so. Every step along the way, being okay with the idea that this may fail. And if you're comfortable and okay with the idea of failing, I think it's going to enable you to have that success, because high risk, high reward. Would you agree, Rob?
Yeah. And like, you know, you said what's failure? You know, like just the fact that, you know, you're building something and working on it. And like, you know, the comment was like, what are you going to do when it fails? Well, it's going to lead you to the next thing by executing and by building out and like by sitting here and making recordings and putting stuff out. It's just going to make you better at what you do for the next thing that you're doing. And like you said, there is no failure. It's just keep one foot in front of the other. And I think you're doing the right thing. I think I definitely think that's the right attitude to have.
When you've done it in your hockey career, you've done it with Butt Ends, being an entrepreneur, being a businessman.
People say that to me all the time, too. Like, when I started the company for Butt Ends, everybody said the same thing. Like, that's never going to work. That idea is too small. Like, what are you going to do when you fail? And it's like, well, I didn't even think. Like, I was like, well, I don't care. I need to at least try this. And then if I fail, I'll iterate from there. And it definitely leads to, you learn. When you try something, it's going to lead to the next thing. Even just playing pro hockey, like you, like going to play in the Fed. What are you going to do when that fails? Well, it's going to lead you to the next thing. It's all about continuing to do the work, and it's going to lead you, and your life's going to open up in ways you can't imagine.
Well, was it a failure though? Right? Like, was my FPHL experience a failure? I don't think so. I think it opened up.
I would say absolutely no. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And it gave you a huge opportunity to create content for your vlog and meet a bunch of people and tell a bunch of stories. And like you said, give you a brand new experience. Like, life experience itself is valuable and very important. And, you know, failure, quote unquote failure, is all just, that's relative, you know? What is failure? Like, the fact that you're doing stuff is automatically a win, so.
You have to install the most competitive mindset that's going to enable you to succeed, right? The idea of failure, it could happen, it could not. But if I come into the rink every day, I am the man, I'm the best goaltender in the rink, I'm the best goaltender of the team, I'm the best goaltender in the league, it's going to install this level of confidence. And that confidence is going to have me having a little bit of freedom to go and make moves that are a little bit risky that maybe I wouldn't otherwise do, but that high risk, high reward. I walk to the studio. I'm the greatest podcaster in this entire building. This is the greatest show on the network. I had the greatest co-host in the entire hockey podcasting plethora. That is the mindset that is going to enable me to succeed. And if you're maybe feeling a little bit stale with your business life, maybe with your job, with school, whatever it is, if you install that mindset, you will be successful in one way or another. I hope that resonates with somebody listening to the show, because I have been so fortunate live my dream of playing hockey, calling that my job, doing this podcast, doing the YouTube vlog on a full-time basis. Rob creating something where he's selling plastic hockey or hockey grips, plastic hockey grips, rubberized hockey grips. Turn that into a full-time income. Like, we have been so blessed. But again, I hope that resonates with somebody. And it's an amazing mindset to truly have.
Yeah, absolutely. Just take the chance and try to do something. And no matter what, as long as you're putting the effort in, good things are going to happen, and it's going to lead you to things that you could never have envisioned, without the effort, without the risk, and without the taking of the chance.
Absolutely. And I think that if you're on the mindset of trying to do that, this is where our next sponsor comes in that is going to be so helpful to you. The team at BetterHelp. We want to give a nice big round of applause, a big warm welcome to the team at BetterHelp for joining the show. So BetterHelp is a service. BetterHelp is a service that's making therapy more affordable, more accessible than ever before. It's as simple as signing up on your mobile device, your phone, iPad, or laptop. Sign up, put some information about your unique circumstances into the app. Within a few days, you'll be matched with a personalized custom therapist for your specific unique needs. It's an incredible experience. I think that being able to talk about my childhood and some of the things that shaped me as a man today have been extremely beneficial just to even understand them. Some things we can fix, some things we can't, but to truly understand them has been extremely helpful. And if you're going, you don't have to be going through a hard time and your life in shambles, just the open-mindedness to get a little bit of help and talk to a professional that truly understands. You go to the link in the video description, betterhelp.com, use the code BISKIT, BIZKIT, betterhelp.com/BISKIT. You're going to get 10% off your first month from the Apple Spotify podcast. You know, it's the same thing. Click that link, put in the code, 10% off your first month, and welcome to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. They've really, really helped me up my game, up my mental game, and really helped me be on a self-improvement journey for the last 6, 7, 8 months. And I couldn't be more thankful for them for that. And for joining the show. So welcome and thank you very much, BetterHelp.
That's sick, man. And I'll be honest, because I've been an outsider, since you started using BetterHelp and since you started going to therapy, and I've actually seen the change in you just from a friend. You know, we've obviously been talking since you started using BetterHelp and getting therapy, and I can hear the way that you talk about your life and about things that it's actually helping you. And I, for one, am excited about this sponsor as well, because I'm excited about using the platform, and I've never actually personally used it, but I'm excited to try out the BetterHelp and come back and report to you guys like what I think how it's helped me or how I feel about it as well. And I think therapy is something that can help everybody in some way.
I couldn't agree more. And like I mentioned earlier, your life doesn't have to be in shambles. You don't have to be going through a divorce or a breakup or losing your business or going through some really hard childhood stuff. You could just be an average dude looking to get a little bit of help to kind of unwind and understand your subconscious, because a lot of the stuff works from the background, and just to understand it be really beneficial. And I know that it's been so helpful to me. And again, thank you so much to BetterHelp. But a couple things to talk about before we finish the episode. Somebody had this question the other day. I thought it was an amazing question. They wanted to know, for you and I, what was the first thing you bought when you made real money playing professional hockey?
Real money. I don't know if you could technically argue that I ever actually made real money playing pro hockey. I don't know. What was the first thing? Did you actually make real money? You probably make more money off your YouTube show than playing professional hockey.
I'm going to get some judgment for this, but it's okay. Full authenticity. Are you ready for this one, Rob? The first thing I bought with my pro hockey money, I remember I got the checks. I got two checks because the checks were behind, because Motor City, they cut the checks on a Wednesday, and Thursday they came in. The GM said, hey guys, we gave you bad checks. If anybody cashed them, you're going to get charged for the bouncing checks for the most fed experience possible right off the bat. We're going to do two checks next week. I got two. So
that was your real money? That was a big spender?
I was going to frame the check. They gave me the check and I thought, I'm going to frame this. So I didn't cash it. Everybody else, because they wanted to go cash the money, they cashed it, and then they ended up getting bounced, I think, $25 or $30 for the insufficient funds fee because the check bounced. But so I got $250 US, and although I didn't cash it, I knew I had the money whenever I did cash it, and you're going to judge me so much for this. The girl that I was seeing at the time, I was madly head over heels for, and all the apparel that I got from the team, I got these Motor City sweatpants, shirts, hats, to everything I got, I put it in this big box. And I shipped it from Detroit to Vancouver to her. And I spent that first check. I think it was about $100 to ship it from Detroit to Vancouver with all the merchandise. I got her some like her favorite sour candies and some chips and some, she loved like jalapeno spicy Cheetos. I put those in the box. I shipped them. I paid the import fees because she had no money to. So it was about $125 by the time we're all said and done. That was what I spent.
There goes your first check. I hope you got fined in the locker room from the boys for that too and had to pay a little extra.
I actually never told that story to this day. That's the first time I've told that story. That's the first time.
Oh, well, that's sweet. Well, honestly, I honestly don't remember. I do remember my first pro hockey check. I was playing at Merrimack College. I just finished my senior season. This was 2006. And I finished, we had an awful year. We were out of the, we didn't make the playoffs, so we were done early. And I got fortunate enough to get signed by the Lowell Lock Monsters in the American Hockey League. And so I was still at school, still basically a college student, and I was playing for the Lock Monsters. And I remember getting my first check, my pro hockey check, and I did the same thing that you said. I was like, oh, I'm going to frame this and this and that. It was only for like a couple $100, so it wasn't really like a ton of money, but I don't honestly remember what I bought. But I do remember getting that first check and thinking that this was a cool moment to get paid to play hockey. So,
you know what I did with the first money? Some of the first money I made actually working a job when I was working at McDonald's and Sears, one of my first jobs.
What?
Mrs. Intern, you're going to love this one. I remember, what was minimum wage? Minimum wage, I must have been making like $10.95, $10.80 an hour working at McDonald's and Sears. And I saved this money around Christmas time because the girlfriend I had, this is also like a decade ago, I wanted to buy her a necklace for Christmas. That's all I could think about when I was at McDonald's and Sears was just get her that necklace. And I saved up the $200, $250, whatever it was, and I got the money and I bought her the necklace. And I gave it to her for Christmas. So that was one of my first ever checks were for him and my first ever pro hockey money. That's what I used.
Man, it sounds like all of your pro hockey money is going to these this girlfriend addiction that you have.
Not anymore. Mrs. Intern, what do you think of that?
It's pretty sweet. I like it.
If you get a necklace for Christmas at 16, what would you say?
That's a high standard for a 16-year-old. I'm not going to lie.
What about if the guy that you were seeing went off to luxurious Detroit, Michigan, where they're firing gunshots over the border left and right, and he managed to make it out alive with his life and ship you a lifetime supply of Motor City Rockers merchandise and apparel, what would you think of that? And the spicy Cheetos. Big, I got the jumbo family size thing of spicy Cheetos.
Very impressive. I like it.
What I'm hearing is, God, this dude was a simp.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that. Ah. I think that's becoming cool again.
Oh, no. Trav.
Let us know in the comment section. What do you think? Is that simp energy? Is that good? Is that good vibes? What do you think? I'm sure the comment section will go ballistic over that. A couple other things. Oh, speaking of first jobs, somebody wanted me to answer this one. What was my first ever job? Now, I'm not going to tell you my first ever job, but I will tell you the most outstanding job I had. Did I ever tell you I worked one day at a cold call center for auto sales?
Ooh, what was that like? Banging the phones? How many calls did you make? Do you remember?
Well, I had just quit the job working at the Zamboni place, the rink, because I thought I found a better job online and ended up falling through. So now I had no job. And so I ended up applying to a bunch of places. This guy says, come in. Let's do an interview. I come in for the interview. He's like, you want to work here today? Well, sure. Why not? All right, buddy. Smile and dial. It was like straight out of Wolf of Wall Street. Puts me in the dialing room. And he's like, okay, here's this big piece of this paper list. And you're to call every number in there. You got names, numbers, information, everything. And pitch them. We have a list of cars to sell them on. And so I must have called people for like 6 hours. And he's like, hey, you got to have a larger than life introduction. I said, what do you mean? Keep in mind, I'm also like 18, 19 at the time. No, 19, 20. He's like, well, it's Big T, right? You're Big T from Big Mac Auto. What's Big Mac Auto? I don't know. Make it up. It doesn't have to be a real place. You're just trying to sell them a car.
You can be the owner of the firm.
I'm the co-owner. I'm the general manager.
Yeah, see, exactly.
So I call people every hour on the hour for about 6 hours. Hey, Big T from Big Mac Auto here. I'm looking to talk to Jerry about his 09 Chevy. Click. Not a single person answered one of my calls or responded past introduction. And I left after about 6 hours. I went into the break room. Some dude had a box of pizza pops. I heated a couple up, ate them, went home, never came back. I never got paid either. It was a straight commission job. So I didn't make a single penny outside of those pizza pops.
Was that the only sales experience that you've had in your career as like a... The one day cold calling?
Nope. I worked at Sears during the holidays. It was a seasonal job.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I worked at Sears once too when I was playing junior.
That was a good time. I worked at Best Buy. That was my last real job I worked. That was about 6 years ago before I got fired. Interesting story. And then the auto sales. Those are the three sales jobs that I've had.
Right on. Well, there you go. Dial for dollars. You learned, that's how you got to learn.
Smile and dial, Robert.
Absolutely. Just bang the phones. It's a numbers game, Trev. You make 10 calls to get 3 appointments to get 1 sale.
Here's a question for the comment section for the viewers of the show, especially on the YouTube video version, or as well as Robert and I. If we had to work a real job, what do you think it would be? I could see you being a car salesman, like a new car salesman, not a used car salesman.
Yeah, I mean, I had a sales job before Bunheads. I sold copiers in Manhattan for 2 years, and I did that to try to get experience for when I started my own company. But my father was a salesman. I think you could all, having sales skills is huge because you can always fall back and get a sales job. There's always somebody looking for you to help them sell. But I don't know. That's a tough one, man. It's a tough grind being a sales guy, you know, working for someone else and selling a product. But it's a skill that if you have it, you can go and there's always a job for you too. So
what do you think I would do?
Start another podcast, maybe? Start another YouTube show? I guess for me too, like I would probably do the same thing that I did with Bunout, just start a new company.
I'd like to remind you and the viewers of the show, Mrs. Intern as well in the back of the engineering room, I do walk on water, but it is frozen. That is all. That is all.
Smooth. You are smooth.
But one thing you don't have to walk on water to get is the team at manscaped.com. They're an incredible beard hedger. I use mine to fade and taper my beard every single week. Rob does as well. He's got that jawline of Wes Scantlin. He tapers up the facial hair way better than Wes does. Way, way better than Wes, who has been strapping pipe bombs to cars for the last decade. But we'll get into that at a different time. The team at manscaped.com, their beard hedger, has 20 different lengths for fading and tapering. It has a 60-minute battery life. It is waterproof as well. It is incredible. It is a beast of a machine. Getting the mustache dialed in, getting the beard line, getting the neckline, all that kind of great stuff. And if you go to the YouTube video description, manscaped.com, use the code BISKIT, BIZKIT, you'll get 20% off and free shipping only. The team at manscaped.com, and thanks to Manscaped for being the third sponsor for this show.
Beautiful. Can't wait for the Manscaped, the new beard trimmer from Manscaped to come in too, bro. It's going to be exciting.
Lawnmower 5. We got Lawnmower 5s coming
Lawnmower up. Lawnmower 5 on the way? Oh, yeah. The perks of being the co-host on Slinging the Biscuit. They never stop.
Let me ask you a question, Robert.
What do you got?
Is NFL rigged, T-Swizzle? Mrs. Intern, did you watch the Super Bowl this weekend?
I did indeed.
You did?
Yes. I am an NFL fan. Well, my team didn't make it, so it wasn't big stakes for me, but my boyfriend's pretty happy, so.
Are you a Bills fan? Do you jump through the table? Are you one of those people?
No, I'm worse. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's tough out there.
I was going to say, you got to be a diehard fan if they never win.
I am a diehard fan. It's tough.
Well, Rob, you think the NFL's rigged? You thought the Super Bowl was rigged?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was onto the conspiracy of the NFL being rigged before the Super Bowl because I was in Buffalo for the Bills-Chiefs. Was it the AFC conference game? Was that the AFC conference? I don't even know. But the playoff game that the Bills sort of somehow magically lost. And I don't know if you saw, there were some conspiracies going around about like the magnets that caused that field goal to miss wide right and the Josh Allen throw in the fourth quarter that came up embarrassingly short and like all these different things. And the whole conspiracy to get the Chiefs to win with Taylor Swift involved. And, like, I kind of bought into it, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie.
Mrs. Intern, are you a Swiftie, dare I ask?
Yeah, I am.
What's your favorite song?
Oh, that's hard. That's how you know I'm a real fan, because there's too many. She has so many albums out. I don't know, maybe one of her, like, her third album. There's a good song on there, Sparks Fly.
She's a fan. She knows how many albums are. Do you see the album artwork for the new album coming out the other day?
I did, yeah. Crazy, she just announced a new one. Like, she's unstoppable.
I am not a fan personally, but hey, different strokes for different folks. That is the beauty of life. Maybe you're watching the show and you're saying, God, who is this dude that looks like a thumb starring as the host? And who is this good-looking co-host? Maybe you tune in and you say, wow, who is that tall, built, strong, sexy, charming, good-looking man in that chair with the incredible studio with the three TVs behind him? That is the spice of life. And on behalf of my incredibly good-looking co-host, on behalf of Mrs. Intern in the engineering room, I'd like to thank you for listening to the show. We do new episodes every single Sunday of this podcast, 11 a.m. in Toronto on the East Coast in the Eastern Time Zone, 10 in Winnipeg, 9 outside the Bow Valley in Calgary, Alberta, and 8 a.m. on the Pacific Northwest here in downtown Vancouver. And on behalf as well, Wally the Corgi, see you next week. Bye.
Later, guys.